Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The Bible tells us the devil has tactics, he has schemes, he has devices against you and me, and we want to know exactly what they are so that we can be prepared against them. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall be condemned."
Jesus gives us power over the enemy. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom to recognize the devil's schemes and understand how our enemy operates so we can defeat him. This is the victory we have in spiritual warfare because Jesus promised he would never leave us or forsake us. With more on standing strong against the wiles of the devil out of Ephesians 6:11, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with the next teaching in our series, Combat Zone.
Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for our opportunity to study your word. And we do want to pray for our study today as we consider the combat zone, as we consider spiritual warfare, that there's a demonic force that is out there and we are battling against it. And we pray your Holy Spirit would help us to make the proper stand. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is our study through the book of Ephesians. We have now come to Ephesians chapter 6, where we come to verses 10 through 18 that are about spiritual warfare. That there are principalities and powers, a spiritual host of wickedness that are fighting against us, and that we are on God's side and we are fighting against them. And there is a battle that is taking place. A lot of times we don't consider this battle. We just kind of go through our lives as if the battle isn't really taking place and the enemy isn't really trying to take us out. So we're going to do a 12-part series on this armor section so that we can consider these truths. Now, there's so much nonsense that has gone on in people battling in the name of spiritual warfare. There are books that have been written, conferences that have been given, seminars that you can go to that will teach you how to battle spiritually that don't have anything to do with the Bible. They come up with their own ideas. They say, it's by experience that these things have happened to me. I had one of those experiences when I was 19 years old. I was attending a non-denominational charismatic church. There's a lot of wild stuff going on during the service. And so because I knew a lot of that wild stuff was going on, I had talked to people who were there. I said, this stuff is not biblical. And I, at 19, I felt like it was my job to tell everybody what they were doing was wrong, by the way. I don't know that I should have been, but I was. And I went around telling people, this is not in order. Bible says that everything be done decently and in order. And this isn't decent nor in order. And news got back to a leader at the church. And so I found myself in the back of a little sanctuary in a chair with six or seven people standing around me with their hands on my shoulders and my head, and a couple of them waving their hands in circles around me saying, rad, 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 while the others spoke in undiscernible sounds and languages, and every once in a while saying, come out of him in the name of Jesus. Because they were trying to cast the demon of false doctrine out of me. Now, they did that for a couple of hours, which seemed like a really long time to me. And they must have thought they did it because they got me out of the chair, hugged me, put me in my car, and I left and never went back to that church again. Because casting a demon of false doctrine out of someone who's talking about the scriptures is not what spiritual battles are all about. Now, I have a feeling, if I had you guys stand up and tell me the experiences that you've had over the years, I think of Derek Prince. Do you guys remember him? Derek Prince, when you listen to his stuff online today, he's got some pretty powerful messages. But Derek Prince believed that you could be demon-possessed as a Christian. And so he would have deliverance services. They would hand out at the door barf bags. You can look this up. You would get a bag when you came in. And as he was saying, I command you demons to leave. I command you in the name of Jesus to leave. Then you would like, woo, 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 wah, and you would throw up in the bag. Now, if I'm sitting in next to you and you throw up in a bag, I'm going to throw up in a bag. And if I throw up in a bag, someone else is going to throw up in a bag. And we're going to have a grand old barforama because this place is not going to smell good by the time that we're done. But where do you ever find that that is the way that we are supposed to deal with the spiritual battle? Where's that at? Oh, I know, it's 3 Opinions, chapter 5, verse 6. And I've seen all kinds of other things. There was one guy who taught Klingons. This wasn't a Star Trek thing, by the way, but he taught Klingons. He would say, he'd walk around the room and go, you stand up. And then he would say, I see a demon clinging on to your arm. And I'm now going to pray that that Klingon would be let go. And he would pray. He didn't call them Klingons, but he had his own word for whatever it was. But he believed that demons couldn't possess you, but they could attach themselves to you. And so that he could see there's a demon hanging onto your head or a demon hanging onto your leg, and he could see it and would deliver you from it. Again, what nonsense, especially when we have the truth of the scriptures and we want to base everything that we believe on what the Bible says. Now, we are in the middle of a series called Combat Zone. We want to know what the scriptures say about the spiritual battle. In a combat zone, you need to be vigilant. You need to be prepared. And we're going to find out that we are in a battle. And the enemy gives misinformation, doesn't he? That's what's happening with Klingons and barf bags. The enemy's going, watch what I'm going to get these Christians to do. And so they're giving disinformation. Just like in the middle of a combat zone, the enemy will give out disinformation so that they can tactically come in and do what they want to do. The Bible tells us the devil has tactics. He has schemes. He has devices against you and me. And we want to know exactly what they are so that we can be prepared against them. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and the righteousness is from me, says the Lord." New Testament verses, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And when we are standing against the enemy, God is with us. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, the title of our message today is Standing Strong, Overcoming the Enemy's Schemes. So we're going to talk today some about the schemes of the enemy. We're not going to talk about what all the tactics are. We'll do that in another one of our studies, but we just want to be aware what those tactics are, a little bit familiar with what they are in this study today. It's not the only place we're told that the devil has schemes. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Paul says, we're not ignorant of his devices, but I wonder today if many Christians are ignorant of his devices. We just don't know how the devil attacks or attacks. We have no idea. Now, I have a subtitle, and that is Ready for Battle or Battle Ready. Imagine being a soldier in a combat zone, and you're able to fight, but you have not done what you need to do to be ready. You wouldn't do that. Hopefully the army wouldn't send you out. Some of you guys here are soldiers. And the army wouldn't, or whatever forces you're with, wouldn't send you out unprepared for battle. But that happens to us. We find ourselves in the midst of a spiritual battle with a promise the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Now, I want to read our text. I want to read it all the way through because I want you to see the depth of what this text tells us about the battle. And then we're going to go back and we're going to cover just one verse, all right? So we want to start in verse 10 and we're going to read through verse 18. This is Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." That's the verse we covered last week. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's the verse we're covering today. Next week, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness and of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Then verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." Now, I've had people tell me that they practice putting on their armor every day. I've had enough people tell me this, that there must be a book somewhere that tells people to do this. That you get up in the morning and that you say, Lord, I'm putting on my helmet of salvation. I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness. I'm putting on my belt of truth. I'm picking up my shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. I got my feet prepared with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And after that, you say to God, I'm ready, God, to go out and face the day because I got my armor on. Now, I don't want to disparage that too much. Notice I said too much. Because you're not necessarily putting your armor on when you go through that, okay? It might be a reminder to you about what each of these are, but that's not putting your armor on. Each of the piece of armor is a part of your character. And what God is telling you is this is the kind of person you need to be because you are in a battle. You need to make sure you're saved. That's the helmet of salvation. You need to be righteous before God. You don't have unconfessed, unrepentant sin in your life. That's who you are. That's the breastplate of righteousness. You stand on the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and you believe what's here. You're not listening to nonsense like barf bags and Klingons. You're actually looking at what the scripture says about the spiritual battle and other things in life. You're holding the shield of faith, which is trusting God's word, and Satan's firing arrows at you, attacking your mind, which will be another one of our whole studies, because the attack is in your mind. Think about what he did with Eve. Has God said you can't eat of any of these trees that are in the garden? Look at all these trees. Has God said you can't eat of any of them? Eve says, well, we can eat of those trees, but not the one in the middle. What did God say to her? You can freely eat of all the trees in the garden. So she left out freely. She just changed God's word enough to make it a little bit less. It's an attack against God's word, and it's an attack against your mind when it's taking place. But we put the belt of truth on so that everything we're doing is in truth. It's not lies that we're believing, because throwing up in a barf bag isn't going to deliver you from a demon. So we believe the truths that are there, and then we're putting the armor on. Our feet are prepared with the gospel. We realize everywhere that I go, I now am a representative of Jesus Christ for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is at its simplest point that we are saved by grace through faith by putting our trust in Christ. In a little bit longer aspect, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. And if we receive it, stand on it, we will be saved by it. And everywhere we go, we bring that. That's having your armor on. And by the end of our study, maybe even long before that, that we would evaluate our lives and ask, am I genuinely saved? Bible says not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Are you genuinely saved? Are you righteous? Or do you have some unconfessed, unrepented sin that you're harboring in your life that you're unwilling to let go? I want to tell you as a Christian, you have a new power inside of you, according to Romans chapter 6, to overcome sin. You are no longer a slave to sin, but you are now a slave to righteousness. And a lot of times we just don't know. We just keep it up. We just keep doing what we're doing because we don't understand. We've been completely set free. I used this example last weekend in a study of some police officers that found a gorilla and called in the animal control, thank you, to come in and help the gorilla. And when they got the gorilla to a zoo, because they couldn't release it in the wild and open it up, the gorilla wouldn't leave the cage. They couldn't get it to leave. It was now had room to roam, but it wouldn't leave. I liken that to a lot of Christians. We have sin in our lives and we're used to doing it. And then we have power to overcome it, but we're like the gorilla. We just don't leave the cage. We just don't realize I really have power now. I have the power inside of me. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I am a slave to righteousness. I am a slave to Christ, and I can overcome these things. And so I want us to put on our armor because it is our character of who we are. Now let's get into our study. Last service, it's going to be long. So settle in. No, it won't be. I'll get through this quickly. Now, if you take a look at this verse 6:11, I'll put it up on the screen for you. So you take a look at that verse, you're going to see our 3 points. Number one, put on the whole armor of God. That's one. Number two, that you may be able to stand. Number three, against the wiles of the devil. That's the number three. So we're going to put on our full armor that we can stand against the schemes of the enemy. That's what we're going to be looking at today. And we see, first of all, that we are to the command to equip, that we're to put on the full armor. And we should consider, first of all, that this armor that you're putting on is your own and not mine. I can't put on armor for you. You can't put on armor for me. I can't put on armor for my kids. My kids have to put their own armor on. Spouses have to put their own armor on. But we've got to put the armor on. We look at all of these different aspects that Paul talked about and talked about them for a reason. And you need to ask yourself, am I walking in truth? Am I walking in righteousness? Am I truly saved? Do I have faith? And do I have the word of God? And when you look at Eve and you look at Jesus and they're both being tempted, both of them are attacked with doubts, and Eve mishandles the word of God and falls into sin, and Jesus handles the word of God well and doesn't fall into sin. And so we want to make sure that when Satan attacks our minds, because that's what the attack is all about, we want to make sure that we're able to stand strong. Now, could you imagine a fireman who only put on his jacket to go into a burning building to save someone's life? Those of you who are firemen here, you know you wouldn't do that. Because two things. Number one, you'd endanger yourself. Number two, you would never save the guy's life because you would probably not get to him, especially if it was a fierce fire. You have to have all of your protection on. And firemen learn how to put that stuff on fast. I don't know exactly how fast it is. I need to ask a fireman how fast they can put their gear on, but they practice putting it on until they can get that gear on fast so they can have the whole protection. And that's the idea of the full armor. We need to wear the full armor. You can't have everything else right and then go, but you know what? I'm not going to walk in the truth. I don't believe the word of God. I think my ideas are better than the word of God. And now you've got a huge flaw. Now you've got a huge problem where you are not protected as you're able to stand. Romans 13:4 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. So again, the idea of putting on this armor and standing strong for the Lord. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. And this again comes back to the truth that we find in the scriptures, that we want to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Now, the armor of God is again for us, it's characteristics of us, our character in us, in the way that we live. Psalms 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusts in him. Charles Spurgeon said of this armor passage, God's armor is made to measure. What he meant by that is that it's made just for you. It's not made for someone else. It's made to measure. Let us not attempt to improve it, but wear it with confidence. And I like that because the people that are writing books on other ways to combat the enemy are trying to improve on the armor that God has already given us. And when we put that on, that armor, we are going to be effective. Now, the second thing we're told is that we are to stand, that you may be able to stand. Now, this isn't like standing in the line of Starbucks. This isn't being able to stand while you're cooking dinner. This is standing in battle. Think of a warrior. Think of a modern day warrior who's got his post and he's got all of his gear on and he stands. He's ready to stand and he's ready to defend. If he's guarding someplace, then he's ready to take on who's ever coming to be able to guard the place to the best of his ability. And that's the idea of standing. We put on our full armor so that we can stand. We're now ready to take on the enemy, Satan and his forces, because we'll stand. Now, I've heard people say before, when it comes to Satan, I've got to deal with him. I leave him alone and he leaves me alone. That's their idea. But Satan's not going to keep any deal that you come up with anyway. So don't think that he's going to leave you alone. He's going to look for ways to come after you and you need to be prepared. When my late wife died, she would take care of all the spiders because I don't like spiders. I just don't like them. I think I have the same deal with my wife now as well. At least I hope that I do. I take care of other bugs. She takes care of spiders. That's kind of the way it is. I'll take care of snakes and I'll take care of lizards that make our way to our house and none have. Okay, just so you know, no, there's no snakes in our house. But there are spiders. So when my late wife died, there were a couple of wolf spiders in my bedroom. They were like behind pictures and one was in a corner. And I just made a deal with them. You stay away from me, I'll stay away from you. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. If I find you around my bed, I'll kill you. But other than that, I'm just going to leave you alone right where you are. And some people make a deal like that with the devil, but it's not going to work. Because we're battling for souls. Why do you think our feet are prepared with the gospel? Because the battle is over those who don't know Jesus. Why do you think Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against you and I've given you the keys to the kingdom? We in the church are those who let people in. We're out doing the work of the gospel. And so that is part of our standing. Now, standing requires strength. Standing is not passive. It takes courage and strength. Joshua was told, be strong and be courageous. And we need to be strong and courageous once we get our armor on to make sure that we stand. Think of Jesus and his great strength to stand during the trials that he endured, to have the false accusations thrown at him, to have the crown of thorns shoved on his head, to have the purple robe put around him, to be mocked and made fun of, to be beaten, to have the beard pulled from his face. He could have stopped it at any moment. He didn't have to be scourged. Even at the cross, what strength? He said, no one takes my life, but I lay it down. Nobody grabbed his arms while he was fighting, saying, no, 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 and then drove nails through it. He laid his hands out, and they drove nails through his flesh and into that tree. He stood in the midst of that battle. And that's what we do. Storms come quickly. We must be prepared before the storm comes. We can't wait for the storm to come to be prepared for it. We have to be ready for it. Standing means holding your ground. The enemy wants to push you back. 1 Corinthians 15:53. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that we understand who we are and that we stand for him. Martin Luther, he pounded his 95 theses on the doors of Wittenberg. And the Catholic Church was doing a lot of things at that time that were really wild. There's some things happening in the Catholic Church that are really wild today, by the way. And he was a priest, he was a monk, and they sold indulgences. So if you wanted to go out and have an affair, you could go to the church and you could buy an affair and have it pre-forgiven for an affair. That was only one of the things that he stood against. And so he pounded his thesis, a 95 thesis on the doors of Wittenberg, and still was a monk. He was trying to reform from within. He didn't become a reformer until later on, until he was actually kicked out of things. But he immediately was attempted to be killed. They wanted to kill him. And he went and hid in fortresses. And at some point he realized, this isn't what God's calling me to do. God's not calling me to be in castles, hiding. And so he left. But here's the statement that he made when he left. He walked outside the castle and said, here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. I love the honesty of that moment with him. Here I stand. I can't do any other. I'm not going to stay in a castle the rest of my life. God help me. I need God's help. And that's what we all need.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.